Welcome back to the Divorce Solutions Podcast, everybody. I'm Jamie West from DivorceCom, along with Tracy Miller from Miller Law and Mediation. Tracy, good to have you back on the show. Another one under our belt here. We're up to like 26 episodes, and we're getting lots of feedback from people, which is great.
Isn't that crazy that we've done that many? That's awesome. There's just no shortage of stuff to talk about in this area.
There sure isn't. And today we thought it might be interesting to take the topic of what will land you in family court. And it was you kind of threw this idea out to me to say, why don't we do like the top five reasons, the top five things that will land you in family court. And I thought it was brilliant. And you and I separately have created our list. I mean, you're a very experienced family law practitioner. I'm a very experienced, unwillingly family law litigant or participant, but I've learned a lot. And so I thought we could go maybe down these lists. What do you say?
Sure.
All right. Sure. All right. So I'm gonna start. And really, these are, I've listed them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but really the truth is it's just a list of five. There's no particular ranking or order that these things go in, as far as I'm concerned. They're just five ideas. So the first one that I want to say will land you in court is poor communication with your ex. So
I had that one.
Did you? Okay. That's good. Okay, well,
let's see what you got to say about it.
Let's talk about it. So right away, that will land you in court. And when I talk about poor communication, I'm thinking primarily about things like the way you speak to your ex, nasty emails, nasty phone calls, just general nastiness. Or in addition to that, failure to really share good and proper information about the children because you're so boiled up with anger and resentment that you're thinking only of yourself in terms of communication. Did I oversimplify things?
No, I don't think so. And that was one of the ones that I had almost exactly the same, because I think if it's, ugly text messages, emails, even ugly letters from lawyers, I got to throw that in.
Yes.
Phone messages, so often it gets to be intimidating. It's threatening. It's if you're going to go to the lawyer, you're going to get nothing. That's one I just heard yesterday. I've heard that so many times.
Right.
And what you're doing is somebody that's already upset and afraid in the middle of a horrible situation, you're scaring the hell out of them. Right. And if that's your plan, then off to court you go, because that's what's going to happen when you start, when you start talking to people like that. And whether it's you or your new spouse or your family or whatever, you absolutely have to keep communications polite and respectful. I don't even care if you mean it. Right.
That's you just said something interesting. New partner. People around you. That's another thing that's very important. And I say this to clients all the time. Make sure that you make it clear to your partner to stay out of it, and keep your, that they're not to have communication with the other side at this point. That and if it is, it better be very polite.
Well, and I can think of two examples come to mind. One is in an already heated custody case when the father's new spouse sent a big long email to my client at the time explaining how to parent properly her kids. And you just think, oh my God, wow, that's just not going to get you where you want to be. And the other one is that I've seen often is the girlfriend or the boyfriend, whoever it is, they're the ones sending the emails, right? Yeah. They grab the phone. And let me tell you, if you've lived with somebody for 20 years or 10 years or whatever, and you send a text, your spouse can tell instantly if you sent that or not, right?
Absolutely.
So it makes it almost worse, because now you've got somebody interfering. Heaven help you if it's the person that broke up the marriage that's sending the text. That's
right.
Even worse. And now you're being underhanded about it, right? So, all of that crap just gets you nowhere.
It does. And I liked your point about the lawyer's letters as well. Sometimes people will say, well, the lawyer wrote the letter. I didn't write the letter. That's nonsense. The lawyer represents you.
That's a giant pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, the lawyer represents you, and you know this, Tracy. Every lawyer has to send you, the client, a draft.
Well, they should be
of the letter for your approval. So if you're approving of those types of letters, when you know darn well they're a little edgy, you shouldn't be.
Well, and I think the other thing is, regardless of if I agree on how the lawyer wants to communicate or not, they got to get the information somewhere. They got to get the instruction somewhere.
Right.
From the client, right? So when clients offload it and go, well, I don't know why they sent that, the lawyer told me I had to, or I didn't want to do that, but they told me I had to, you just think, okay, lawyers take instructions.
That's right.
And just stepping back and refusing to take any responsibility for how it's being conducted. Yeah,
throwing your legal advocate under the bus is probably totally not a good idea either.
Exactly. And if you have to appreciate that if you let them conduct it that way, at some point, it's going to come back to you.
Right.
Right.
Right. So communication. One of my top five is social media crap I've put, and that ties again to communication. We've talked about this on its own. Stay off of social media when you're going through a separation or divorce. Just there's no real need for you to be on there. Social media is not a requirement to get through life.
No.
And when you're going through a tough time in your life, that's a really good time to stay off of social media. And for heaven's sakes, don't put anything up on social media that is critical of your ex or is making snide remarks or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're making ugly comments to a friend of yours on Facebook about your ex-husband, everybody in the room's going to know you were hoping you wanted him to see it.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Like it's just really bad form to do it that way.
So So all of that kind of fits under communication. That will land you in court. Do you want to give me one that's on your list? Go ahead.
Canceling somebody's credit cards, emptying bank accounts, all of that type of stuff.
Oh, that's a good one. All right. Let's talk about that.
Well, I think what happens is financially, people are really worried. Most people are worried that, A, they're just going to get hammered and lose everything they have. You know, you commonly hear that. And when you get sudden moves like that with somebody that's already worried about finances, you know what? You can end up in court real quick. So, you know, best idea is, A, take a step back and think it through and get some advice on it, right? I mean, if you've got there are cases, and again, that's why we always say, go and talk to somebody because every case is specific.
Right.
There could be cases where somebody's worried about somebody jacking up a line of credit and drawing all the money down. But, you know, you need to have a plan in your head because if you have, let's say, the wife on the other side and she drives up to the gas station with the two kids and goes to use the credit card and the credit card's declined and you've just done this and she has no idea, what shockwaves do you think that's going to send? And if that's what you're intending, then okay, court's made for you. But if it's not, think it through before you do something like that, because you can unintentionally just really heat things up real quick.
Great, great points all the way around. Another one on my list, and this probably would be at the top of my list, involving the kids in any way, shape, or form, whatsoever. Do not involve your children in the resolution of this divorce or separation. It's not their issue and it's not their problems.
Well, I absolutely agree. I think what will happen is, you know, your kids are going to come home and they're going to, you know, be completely upset, or they're going to explain and start talking about what happened. And it doesn't have to be somebody that's grilling them, because quite often kids, if they're upset, they're going to talk. Well, now you've got somebody that's in the middle of a separation that's worried to start with, and now their kids are coming home upset and terrified because of what you've done, right? Or, you know, where's that going to land you?
In court.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of a sudden, somebody's going to say, oh my God, this is bad enough. The kids are coming now from a broken home. The spouse on the other side is using them in the middle of this. I have to get them out of this somehow. And, you know,
right. And there you go. You're off and running at that point.
Off to court you go.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Sure. Another one here is, what did I write? I can't even read my own handwriting.
I got one. Well, I got one ahead. For you. Yeah. Just a sec.
All right. Lay one on me here.
And this is, you know, for people that are already separated and you've worked out a schedule between the two of you with the kids about what the parenting arrangement is going to be. And then all of a sudden somebody unilaterally decides, yeah, I'm not bringing them back. I'm completely going to change this. And you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Yep. That's one that really causes concern to people. And then the concern becomes if there's no court order and you just think you can do whatever the hell you want. Maybe you do need to have the court involved and have a court that's got that kind of authority involved. Right?
Well, exactly. If you're not going to honor an out of court agreement, if you can't honor that agreement, then you're heading to court. You're going to court because now you need a court order because you've shown you can't. You can't abide by a negotiated, you know, arrangement that you have.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, the tricks of, well, I forgot or where, you know, I drove and I couldn't get home in time or the weather's bad or whatever. I think in some ways you get a pass maybe on one, but then you start doing that and it gets real predictable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just somebody that doesn't listen. And then, yeah, it's off. You're going to end up in court.
Another one that I've got here is conflict. Now, that's a very general term. And a lot of what we've talked about so far, it could fit under the heading of conflict. But I'm thinking here more specifically of things like confrontation. And an example would be, don't get into it with your ex at the kids' soccer game. Don't go to the front door of the matrimonial home and ring the doorbell when it's your ex's time with the kids and start a fight at the front door. Don't have your new partner, for example, or your extended family members or friends be calling up your ex and you know, trying to kick things up and discuss things and do all of that. That confrontation is what I'm saying. Don't get into confrontation because it's a zero sum formula, and you will end up in court. But probably before that, you will end up with police involvement and maybe CAS involvement, which you don't want.
And I think, I think certainly there's relationships where when you hear what the history of it is, you start to look at it and think one spouse has always been used to, if I push hard enough, I'm going to get my own way.
Yeah.
Right. And there's so many times you see relationships like that and you could see that that person is used to just being able to really shove hard on whatever the issue is. And then the other spouse is going to capitulate. And whether that's just so the kids aren't involved or whether they just don't want to have a fight every day of their life. But those type of people are the ones, that will try and force the other side to agree to them. Yeah, you're not going to put up with that very long before you're going to think a court order, and restraining orders, right, that you can't go near them and that type of thing.
Exactly. What else do you have on your list?
People that cut off the money, you know, or, you know, as the other way to put it, as I heard somebody say, you just turn off the tap and all of a sudden somebody's going to come to the table. If you think that the way to negotiate is to not pay support, is to cut off paying the mortgage, and there's people that think this, to create financial pressure. So, you know, maybe the other side's going to get it and they're going to be more inclined to come to the table. You got to be extremely careful if you're taking steps like that, because A, it looks like you're going to take drastic steps on, and you don't really care what the effect is on the other side, especially if there's kids involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is you really don't care what happens to the other side. So, you know, you just have to be extremely careful about that. And there's people that watch TV and they get advice from, I had it happen recently, I've seen it. It had advice from other people saying, well, you know, if you just stop cutting off, then maybe she's going to be in more of a hurry to try and want to resolve this. And you think it's such the wrong way to think about this.
Like, well, that's a category unto itself. You just came up with another one, taking advice from people that are not in it, that are not legal professionals, financial professionals, or any kind of profession. You shouldn't be taking advice from the barber, from your fitness instructor, or your nosy neighbor across the street.
No, because even if they're well-intentioned, and sometimes they are, sometimes family members are in particular are well-intentioned, but what they do is see it from 150% your side, and they're not objective. So they
won't help you.
No, they can be saying to you, look, there's no, you know, judge on the planet that isn't going to give you the kids. And you just, okay, just step back here for a minute. Yeah. And as for the people that, you know, like you said, the neighbor or the person at the restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
Just such a bad idea because every case is different, right?
Well, it really is. The last one I had on my list is something we talked about on the show before, disclosure. Here's what I mean. Financial disclosure. Because I always like to assume that people are going to go into an alternative dispute resolution process, some mediation, some negotiation. Neither one of us, you or I, want people to go to court. And so it becomes really important if it will land you in court if you fail to properly disclose your financial situation in the course of a mediation.
Well, yeah, and I think for a lot of reasons, because if I'm sitting on the other side of a case and there's sort of standard disclosure quite often that you're going to exchange, and usually it's tax returns, and the other thing is assets and debts. You know, you need the backup documents for that. That's pretty basic. As soon as somebody really starts giving you a hard time about that, or they don't want to send it, instantly you think, okay, what are you hiding, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're not telling the truth. Like, what the hell's going on? So by refusing to be reasonable about it, all you do is just shine a real bright light on it. Somebody's looking at it going, okay, we can't finish this without that disclosure, because now you've made it an issue, right?
Right, exactly. Did you have another one on your list?
No.
Okay,
no,
good. Wow, we got through it. All right, that's terrific. Some great points there on the things that will land you in family court. Tracy, as always, it's great to have you here. How do people get a hold of you if they'd like to connect?
It's Miller Law and Mediation, and the email is tracy@miller-law.ca.
All right, and if you want to connect with me and learn all about the mistakes that I've made along the way in communication, I mean, that's why I started DivorceCom, because I've probably made every single mistake that everybody makes, and I've certainly learned from them, and I can help you to avoid those pitfalls. Check us out, divorcecom.ca. And you can reach me, jwest@divorcecom.ca. And a reminder that your case is specific, so the information provided here on the Divorce Solutions Podcast is just that. It's information. Make sure that you're working with your own legal professional, your own financial professional and health professionals to deal with your case specifically. And Tracy, we'll look forward to the next one. Take care.
Yep, you too.